Thanks for joining Walt and me today. My name is Brenda McCord. Each week, we look forward to sharing lessons from God's Word. This podcast, Walk with God, is part of our ministry, Discover God's Truth. We invite you to visit the website and subscribe at discovergodstruth.org, where you can grow and be encouraged in your personal walk with the Lord. We appreciate the outreach ministry of theawakeningworldwide.com. Welcome, friends. You know, the Bible is filled with wisdom and insight for our daily walks with God. And each week, Walt and I open the pages of Scripture to share the good news of Jesus Christ. And right now, we're studying 1 Peter. And when we go back to chapter 1, he shares a promise that was given by the prophet Isaiah in chapter 40, verse 8. The word of our God stands forever. And we stand on that. And that is why we open the Bible and we share it each week on this podcast. Well, also in that opening chapter of 1 Peter, the author tells us, "Now you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love for one another deeply from the hearts." For each of us, our words, our attitudes, our actions, you know, actually the way we live our lives should demonstrate to others, to a watching world, that we have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus. Well, let's continue. Let's return to chapter 3, and I want to start today in verse 13. "Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, you are blessed. Do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened." You know, Walt and I ended here last week, and we just wanted to pick up with these two verses, 13 and 14, as we then continue and finish chapter 3 today. But as we look at these, what Peter's saying is, you know, even if you should suffer, we all do suffer, but when we suffer for doing what is right, that for being righteous in our living, and we suffer for the sake of righteousness, he says these words, "You are blessed." Does that seem strange as you hear those words, that we would not put blessing, consider ourselves blessed when we actually suffer? But we're going to see as we work through these next few verses, we have a beautiful example of one who was righteous and who suffered. Isaiah 41:10 tells us, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you, and I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." We're going to see right hand a little bit later in a couple more verses coming. Matthew 10:39, "Whoever finds their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it." Peter says, "Have no fear, do not be troubled. We know that God is with us."
And you know, Brenda, we were talking about an experience I had when I was a fairly young Christian. I'd only been a believer for 2 years. And in the summer of 1980, I went on a campus crusade for Christ. Now they're called CREW, a summer project to Branson, Missouri. And while we were there, we had a situation with a guy that, I haven't said this very often, but was obviously demon-possessed. And he said some things that there was no way he could have known them. And I remember just being afraid, but then asking the Lord to give us a holy boldness, that he would prepare us and help us to give an answer to this man. And there was just this mighty moment. And as I was thinking about that, as I was reading further these verses in chapter 3 of 1 Peter, "But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy." And that's what we were trying to do there on that summer project. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. but do this with gentleness and with respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ, they may be ashamed of their slander. You know, even this passage, it talks about honoring the Christ. He is the Lord. He is holy. And be ready to share with others the hope that you have in the Lord. We call this being ready to give your testimony. This is why I have hope. This is where I have encouragement. I believe that Christ died for my sins, and because of that, I have a home in heaven. And I'm not just hoping, oh, I hope it's good enough. I know these things I've written to you that you might know that you have everlasting life. That's what we can have. But also, as we do that, we should be living in such a way, again, if we suffer, it's because we are doing God's work His way. And that allows us to have a clear conscience, so that even if someone speaks maliciously against us, I love that concept. Live in such a way that if someone speaks maliciously against you, that your good and godly behavior in Christ, that people won't believe it. That they say, no, that's not the way Walt lives. That's not the way this believer lives. I don't know why you're saying this malicious word against them, but I know them, and I know they would not do that. Live in that way, and then your good behavior will put people to shame because of their slanderous, malicious words.
And that whole idea that the Lord's watching out for us, it, you know, jumping back up to verse 14, we don't need to fear that. Even when those, you know, those untruth, that slander, that those, even as it is lies are spoken about us, we bring that back to the Lord and we say, Lord, we are trying to live in a way that will honor you, that will be holy to your name. Help us do that, right? Help us live in a right way.
Yeah, for sure. And even as we go through this passage, that kind of comment about our good behavior, and as we continue, the passage, he's going to continue to talk about suffering the right way and for the right reason.
Yeah, so as we go into now verse 17, continuing with this thought, for it is better if it is God's will to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. You know, we don't want to. And he said, we saw this last week, but when we do wrong, we should be disciplined. We should be corrected. We should, as it is, suffer, right? But when we suffer for doing good, and then here it is in verse 18, for Christ also suffered once for sin, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit. So this suffering is because we're doing good. We're not perfect. So we want to make sure that you're hearing that message. When we accept that free gift of salvation that Jesus paid the price for and is being offered to us, and we receive that, then we are now walking. We are new creations. But our sin nature hasn't totally disappeared yet.
No, it hasn't.
It's that sanctification process, and it will not be finalized until we are called to heaven. The Lord comes and takes us, and we go with Him to heaven. Then that we will be perfect, and that sin nature will go away. But for now, we're doing good as we come before the Lord. We're living in a righteous way. And then that verse 18, our example is Jesus. He suffered. He hung on the cruel cross. Easter's coming up here in the next week and a half, and we are going to remember what Jesus went through, and we're going to try to put ourselves even in that mindset and those thoughts on Good Friday. Many of us will participate in church services, have communion, and there'll be a very somber service that we'll participate. Jesus never sinned. yet he did the will of his heavenly Father. Remember that night as he bowed in the Garden of Gethsemane? He asked Peter, James, and John, can you not pray with me for just a short time? Wait here and pray as I go a little further. And then he knelt. He sweat those teardrops of blood drops as he pled and he was pleading before his heavenly Father, if it would be your will, could this cup pass from me? But if not, thy will be done. He died for my sins. He died for your sins. He suffered a physical death in his human body. But he was made alive in the spirit. That's what the end of verse 18 tells us. He was raised to life. And that, friends, is what we celebrate on Easter morning. Yes, he was put to death in the human sphere of existence, but he was made alive unto resurrection within that sphere of life and his existence. I just want to add here 2 Thessalonians 1:6-8. In his justice, he will pay back those who persecute you, and God will provide rest for you who are being persecuted, and also for us. When the Lord Jesus appears from heaven, he will come with his mighty angels in flaming fire, bringing judgment on those who don't know God and on those who refuse to obey the good news of our Lord Jesus.
Amen and amen. That God will bring justice and God will bring his just vengeance on those who've harmed us, those who have harmed the Lord. Well, continuing on in this chapter, we come to a really interesting passage. You know, there's some passages in the Bible as you read through that you're like, okay, what's this about? And this is one of those. Let me just read these verses 19 through verse 21. And then we'll talk about the debate on what is going on here. Verse 19, after being made alive, he, Jesus, went and made proclamation to the imprisoned spirits, to those who were disobedient long ago when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. In it, only a few people, eight in all, were saved through the water. And this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you. No, not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a clear conscience towards God. And then this passage is going to go on and even talk about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And as we get to this, there's a debate. Who are these imprisoned spirits? And there's a number of different options. It seems easiest to connect this with the passage as it continues on with Noah and the eight that were saved through the water, and then the move into baptism. So let's talk about this. The patience of God, at least connected to that, no one can disagree. In Genesis 3, it said that God waited 120 years as Noah and his family built the ark. And it seems like this proclamation that was made that goes back to the times of Noah, who was talking to Noah? Who was telling Noah what to do? Well, it was the pre-incarnate Jesus that was there, and he was preaching to the people that were watching through Noah. Noah was there. He was living his life. He was doing this. And yet at the same time, Genesis 6:5 says, the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth. These are spirits that are going to be punished. That every thought and every intent of mankind's heart, the other people that weren't in Noah's family, was only evil continually, and God was grieved by man's sin, but Noah found favor with God. You know, one of the statements here is this: God's desire is that none perish, that no one spends eternity separated from him. But Jesus clearly taught in Matthew chapter 25 when he taught about the sheep and the goats, and he said those goats, those wicked ones, will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous will go into eternal life. And even as that the time of Noah, Noah and his family were saved through the water. Now, it's not a baptism that saves us, but it's a pledge, it's a type, it symbolizes that we've changed our life, that we've turned it over to God, that we are buried in the water when we go down for believer's baptism, and then we're raised to newness of life, just as Jesus was buried in the earth, and then he was raised by the power of God to say that his sacrifice on Calvary's cross, his shed blood, his body that was torn, that allowed us to have newness of life. And that gives us a clear conscience towards God. You know, again, God is not willing that anyone perish, but he does say that there will be punishment. You know, God, I want to just thank God. This is a head to heart for me. He has been so patient with me, first before I trusted Christ, but then even as a believer, watching me grow, helping me along the way. But we don't ever want to assume on that patience. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, he said, now is the favorable time. Now, today is the day of salvation. And so if God is speaking to you, if he's either speaking of you and you've been listening to us and you're not sure you've trusted Christ, today's the day to do that. But if you're not sure and you know you're not walking well with the Lord, today's the day to change that too. Because we know God is patient, but he does eventually call for the time for the days to be done.
And I really agree, Walt, so much. Just his patience and that idea that here we point to Noah. And I think you've done a great job walking us through those difficult verses and trying to understand Noah and the water and what's happening there with regard to baptism. But now we want to finish with these last two verses here in chapter 3, verse 21, beginning, it saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand with angels, authorities, and powers in submission to him, who's gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God with angels and authorities having been subjected to him. You know, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, he resurrected from the dead. He paid the penalty for my sin, for your sin, and then he's victorious over death, over the grave. He's now gone into heaven, seated at the right hand of God, that position of high honor. Romans 8:34 tells us Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Jesus was crucified and buried, and I've got to just share a head to heart. He rose victorious over death. We read in Colossians 3:1, since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. And so I ask each of us this question, where is your heart set? Where is my heart set? Am I looking for power and position and wealth on this earth, or am I looking to the Lord in heaven, where Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Almighty Father? Would we set our hearts on things above?
What a comforting thought. Let me close today. Just even looking back through these three chapters of 1 Peter with some of the truths as I pray through them. So, Father God, we are so thankful that Christ suffered for us. And he did that, leaving us an example, leaving me an example, that I should follow in his steps. Lord, he committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. Lord, help us not walk in sin, and help us never to have deceit, to be truthful, for you are truthful. And Lord, when he suffered, he made no threats. He entrusted himself to the one who judges justly. Lord, we entrust ourselves into your hands. Lord, we thank you so much that Jesus died on that tree, on Calvary's cross, so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. So help us, Lord, the days of this week to live well for you as we walk with God. We pray in Christ's mighty name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this lesson from God's Word. Walk with God is part of the teaching ministry of Discover God's Truth. visit our website at discovergodstruth.org. We appreciate the outreach ministry of theawakeningworldwide.com.